Hi, welcome to episode 73 of Motherhood in Hollywood. My guest today is comedian, author, and now podcaster, Kate Casey. I am so excited to share our fun and often very honest interview that's going to be coming up in just a minute. But first, I want to welcome a new sponsor to the show. It's Olin Organic. If you haven't heard about Olin, I'll tell you, they're founded by two fashion industry veterans, and they are also moms. They realized they knew more about where their wine and food were coming from rather than the clothes they're putting on their children. So they decided to start Olin Organic. They use 100% certified organic cotton, which is so much better for the baby and the environment. Here's what's great about these clothes. They are free of bleach, silicone, formaldehyde, plastic inks, and chemical flame retardants. All of those are traditionally found in children's clothing. I have to admit, I've not been very particular about what I put Channing in. And quite honestly, the more I read about it and the more I find out, the more important it is to me that I want to put something on her body, not just in her body. You know, we worry so much about what we feed them, but something on her body that's also going to be good for her. That's why I was so excited to get her in a pair of the Olin Organics jammies. And also their designs, you guys, are just so adorable. They're very modern. They're unisex designs that are very playful and stylish, but not babyish. So here's what I want to do to welcome Olin Organic onto the show, to Motherhood in Hollywood. I want to give you guys a chance to get a discount. When you go to their website, olinorganic.com, make sure you enter the code MIH10, and that will get you 10% off of your order. I love saving money. Go to olinorganic.com to find out how you can get your kids in sustainable, stylish clothes.
Hello, Mama.
Heather Brooker. This is a Crude Prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Another amazing week. I certainly have. I'm finally sobering up because it's my birthday week, or it was my birthday week. If you do not follow me on social media, you've missed the obnoxious barrage of posts that I've been doing about turning 40. That's right, the big 4-0. I'm officially in a different category in life. But I have been, my husband, as awesome as he is, has been keeping me super busy with traveling to Vegas. With my mom came in town this past week, and we went out and had a great time with her, did lots of traveling. We went to Palm Springs, saw Elvis's hideaway. Oh, Elvis's honeymoon hideaway. That's what it is. My mom is a huge Elvis fan. And so sort of by proxy, I guess I am too. I've always loved Elvis. My mom likes to tell the story about how she was pregnant with me when she saw Elvis in one of his last concerts. So I guess I've been a fan for a long time. But anyway, so we hung out with my mom, and then we had a big party in Hollywood, like you do, on Friday night. And my husband surprised me with a roast, and I just, my friends are mean. I'm going to say that right now. They got up, and I had no idea this was going on. Okay. I'm just there enjoying drinks. We have this great place called Bar Covell in Hollywood. If you've never been there, it's adorable. So much fun. And they have a little sidebar there. It's like a little hidden bar that's attached to the bar. You enter through a bookcase, and we're there like hanging out, you know, drinking, whatever. And then my friend gets up on the microphone and he's like, Heather, can you please come up here? And I'm like, what is going on? Anyway, so they start roasting me, essentially, which basically gives them license to say mean things to me and about me, which honestly, if anybody knows me, I can take it. Like, I feel like if you can dish it out, which I do regularly, then you should be able to take it, right? Like, if you're one of those sensitive mamby-pamby people who gets their feelings hurt a lot, you should probably not be at a roast or anywhere near a roast. Anyway, it was just a lovely night. It was so much fun, and I'm so grateful to Chris and everybody who helped put everything together. So now I can stop bumming you out with my woe is me, this is 40 kind of post, right? I've been auditioning a lot as well in the past week, and trying to keep up with that schedule. still not getting anything. I don't know. My manager seems to think it's a mindset. She thinks that because I'm so focused on my podcast and my website and all of these other projects I'm working on, that I'm now no longer focused on my auditions. And I don't know that I necessarily agree with that, because I feel like every audition I get, I'm just as focused. I still learn my lines. I still make my choices as an actor. I still go into the room, you know, ready to audition. But she says that it's like a mindset and that the casting directors can pick up on it and that sort of thing. So I don't know. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if I believe in that. I know I haven't, you know, booked a TV show. Well, I booked one in September that just aired. Oh, that's right. So I was on FX's You're the Worst. That episode aired this week, my birthday week too, which was a really nice birthday surprise. It was a very small part. If you're a fan of FX shows at all, You're the Worst is really great. Another one of those shows where you can't be easily offended because they're very blunt and brutal. But yeah, I was on FX's You're the Worst. So if you get a chance to watch that and tweet at FX and tweet at the creators of that show, tell them, hey, we'd like to see that teacher a little more. She was pretty amazing. That was the character I played, a teacher. So yeah, it's been a good actor week. I think my mind is still in the game, but maybe it's not. I don't know. I find that this podcast and this website have been distracting me a lot. And on one hand, it's good. I'm enjoying the process and challenging myself to do other things. And on the other hand, I sort of feel like I'm still an actor. I still want to be auditioning and acting. And so, yeah, that's where I'm at, guys. That was my little vent, random tangent vent, whatever. Thanksgiving is coming up. I'm not cooking this year. I don't know if you're cooking. What are you doing? Are you making a big to-do at your house? I'm not. I have to work at the news station. So we're just going to go out to dinner this year and keep it kind of mellow. That way I don't go, bye, Chris, and then leave him with a house full of dirty dishes and our three-year-old, you know, like, see you, sucker. So we're just going to go out to eat this year, and which is, to me, is still just as fun because it's all about being with your family, right? It's not necessarily about the food, although that is a good part of it. So I hope whatever you're doing for Thanksgiving is awesome. Let me know. Tweet at me at MIH Podcast and at Heather Brooker. Also, make sure you're following me on Instagram so you can keep track of all of my shenanigans in Hollywood, and on Facebook where I also post wacky and inappropriate things. Yay! I want to give a couple shout outs really quickly to some new followers on Twitter. Denise Landis at The Cook's Cook. Thank you for following me over there. MacGyvering Mom 22. That is a fun screen name and handle. Also, Hillary Jones is a photographer here in LA. He gives me a lot of love on the social media. And Stephanie Sherman. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to find me. And I appreciate you more than you know. If you would please, if you're listening to the show for the first time, hi, welcome. I'm super rambly and inappropriate. And if you would leave me a review on iTunes, just take a moment, give a little review how much you love the show and how skinny and pretty you think I am. That's all. That's all. No pressure. Just do that. Okay, so now I need to go drink some more of my coffee. And a mom, she's a very popular blog called Love and Knuckles, which is so funny. She says the things that we're thinking, which I appreciate. I definitely am into that as well. And she has a new podcast called Reality Life, which I was a guest on a few weeks ago. So make sure you check out that episode. Here is my interview with Kate Casey. Is with four kids, a podcast, a book.
So I tape on Tuesdays. So after I drop my daughter off 25 minutes away from my house, mm-hmm. because I'm an idiot and that's what I do. I drive straight to LA and then I'll tape until 12 and then I'll come back home and pick the one, the oldest one up. So, and then I try to write later that night. But the rest of the week I write in the morning while they're at school. And then I also write at night, but I'm also like, I'm always checking messages, it's fine because that was the way it was. It's basically the same schedule I kind of had as with my clients. Not the same schedule, but the same sort of dynamic where I'm answering emails all the time. So I've just replaced answering emails with answering emails, answering, you know, tweets, and, you know, doing all my own booking for my show. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, it's pretty fast paced, but I had a fast life, paced life before. So it's not that much different.
When do you do your writing? You said in the morning sometimes or sometimes at night? Because that's when I struggle with finding time to write constantly.
Morning and night, I'm best, but I'll take my laptop everywhere. I'll write in the car if I'm, you know, waiting to pick somebody up. Mm. So kind of just depends. I'm always writing.
See, that's the key that I've noticed with really good writers and prolific writers is that they are always writing. And for me, yep. I found that I'm always like thinking about writing.
Yeah.
Rather than actually doing, I'm like, oh, this will be good. I should write this down. Or, oh, this will be a great blog post. I need to write this down. And then I invariably get distracted by emails or Instagram and, you know, and that sort of thing.
No, that happens.
Tell me about let's talk about your podcast. Let's talk about Reality Life. Where did this love of reality TV come from?
Okay, let's go. All right. It began in, before high school. I even think middle school. Real World aired 24 years ago. So yeah, I was young. I remember watching Real World New York, the first season, and just being captivated. And I would watch marathons over the weekend, and I would just not want to leave my television. I always loved television. I had my mom would just put us in front of the TV all the time. So I watched General Hospital when it was totally not appropriate. Like, I remember the Luke and Laura rape storyline.
God.
Yeah. Probably not great, but I just always loved television, loved movies. So the Real World aired and I was captivated. And then I just continued watching it. And I always dreamt of being on Real World, but I just didn't feel like I had a hot tub body, which I always say. Because you have to be like crack skinny and
And loosey goosey.
Yeah, and I went to an Irish Catholic college, so everybody drank. So I was like a doughy girl. Because I wasn't going to stop drinking beer. But I always knew, like, I just knew somehow I would end up doing something that had to do with those kind of shows. So, and then I obviously loved all the shows that popped up around the beginning of Real Housewives of Orange County. I remember that being a time where a lot of shows popped up. Mm-hmm. And I just loved watching them, and I loved commenting. And then I had a friend that really encouraged me to write recaps of the shows. So I began doing that, and I put them on my blog, and then they kind of like, they got bigger and bigger. I got more followers. And then I started writing about it, you know, commenting on Twitter, and that kind of became a bigger thing. So the comedian Heather McDonald started reading my recaps, and then she invited me to come on her podcast and give commentary on Real Housewives. And we became great friends. And then I started doing stand up with her. And then she helped me get a podcast. So it's kind of been like a slow and steady process. But it's been really fun.
So you have been doing stand up only relatively recently then? Or is that something you've been doing?
Yeah, since February.
Oh, wow.
It's bizarre. It's really just exploded, which is really fun.
And how do you like it? Because it's a totally different beast than
I absolutely live for it. Like, it's weird. I remember the first time I did it, I just thought, why did I wait so long to do this? I feel like I've never been more calm in my life. I just go into a zen place. But I've always really loved being in front of people. Mm-hmm. I remember in college, I got this opportunity to speak at the Democratic caucus and introduce President Clinton, Vice President Gore.
That's cool.
And I went up and I opened with a joke that I just made up on the spot. Mm-hmm. And it was on C-SPAN. And I remember looking at the back and Sam Donaldson was like cackled over laughing. And then, like, Ted Kennedy was laughing. And my mother, who's like a super Democrat, was crying in the front row. It was just a funny experience. But I just remember feeling like, this ain't no big thing. Like,
right.
It was really, I really like to be in front of people. So it didn't really seem like that big of a deal. And
so you got the rush that a lot of comedians talk about, or that feeling of like your happy place that a lot of comedians talk about when they get up on stage.
Yeah. It's like my
sweet. You got bit by the bug.
My sweet place. Yeah. My sweet spot. My safe place. Yeah.
I only recently started doing stand up too, like within the last, well, I started it actually before I got pregnant. And then I was like, I can't be pregnant and crack jokes, which was a huge mistake. I actually, I should have kept doing it while I was pregnant. I might have had some, you know, better material. But I kind of quit and backed off for a little while. And then I've only recently, like in the last year myself, started picking it up again and trying to find my voice and whatnot. And that for me is the hardest part is... because I really enjoy it too. And everybody's been all my whole life is like, oh, you're so funny. You should do stand up. And I just always think, oh, nobody wants to hear me tell jokes.
Yeah. God, that's crazy. No,
I know. I just psych myself out. You know, you get into a headspace where I'm like, and I also have so many plates that are spinning in the air right now that I try to go down. I live by Flappers here in the Valley. So I'm like, I try to go down there every now and then, but it's so... I'm always like, nah, no one's going to come. So I never invite anybody to come. And then I do my show and there's no one in the audience. And I'm like, why didn't anybody come?
Right.
So stupid.
I do understand that feeling of why suffer from, I don't want to put anybody out.
So right. Like, yes. You don't want to be.
I do get that.
Yeah.
But I also feel like you got to do things that really give you a lot of creative energy.
Yeah.
You know, you have to do things like that really inspire you. Just, I think your daughter will love to see the best part of you. And if that means you have to go to Flappers, you know, once a month or twice a month, then you have to do it.
Yeah. I need to like kick myself in the ass and just get out, just do it and do it more regularly, because like doing it so randomly and infrequently, I feel like it's not,
you know what
as
else?
Helpful.
I always just write stuff down that I think are funny so that I can incorporate it into something later. Like the other day I had a conversation with someone that was so asinine. Like I was out with my kids and this woman was trying to kind of like give me some insight on parenting. So I said, oh, or, you know, how many kids do you have? And she said, oh no, I don't have any kids, but I'm an aunt.
Oh, just, shut up.
What an asshole to say. I mean, I'm not going to go down to an air show, stand next to a veteran and say, you know, strike up a conversation. They're not going to say, oh, so you were in the Air Force too. Well, no, but I've seen Top Gun.
Yeah,
it's like,
right?
That's not the same thing, you idiot.
It's like, okay, see, I was thinking about that same thing too the other day, because remember all the stuff with Harambe, the gorilla at the zoo? All of a sudden, everybody was a parent and knows how to parent better and would never have let that happen and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you jerk-offs have obviously never spent a lot of time around a 2 or 3 year old. Those suckers are fast and they'll dart away whether and you can't like hold on to them 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but suddenly everybody was an armchair quarterback parent, you know, with their thoughts and opinions on parenting, and it's really annoying. But that's gross. I can't believe somebody said that to you.
Yeah, I was just like, okay, dial it back a little bit.
Dial it down, lady.
Like, have you ever been a Marine? No, but I've seen American Sniper. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, right. But it's so funny that people think that it is, that they can comment. I know. I know. It's so gross. So speaking of your writing and stuff, tell me how, now you wrote a book.
Right.
How did that come about? And when did you find time to squeeze in all the writing?
I had this idea years ago. Well, I have 4 children, so I'm pregnant all the time. I've been pregnant nonstop. So I think pregnancy is hilarious. So I just started collecting quotes from people about the weird things that happen when you're pregnant. And I compiled them into a book for a gift for someone who's pregnant, or, you know, anybody who's even been pregnant would enjoy it. But it just is a collection of really funny things that I've had people send me or I've overheard for years. Like, you know, so it always funny. Starts with, you know, you are pregnant. So you know you're pregnant when you go to Costco to get a refrigerator, but you come home with three pizzas. That's stuff that only happens when you're pregnant. You know you're pregnant when you keep a one-pound bag of Skittles under your car seat. Or like, it's just random things. And then I have a girlfriend who's older than me, and she said, you need to write another book called You Know You're Going Through Menopause When.
Oh, Lord.
And so I'm also working on a book now called You Know You Are a Parent When. So I am collecting quotes if anybody wants to send me quotes if they want to be in the book.
I want to be in the book. I will send you quotes.
Awesome.
I love that so much. And that's so true. A lot of what you're saying is true. There's something very different about the world suddenly when you're pregnant. And what's funny to me is how people treat you. Like, for me, everyone was super nice when I was pregnant. Oh, let me get the door for you. And oh, can I help you to your car? And, you know, and those kinds of things. And I was like, this is great. People give you presents. They want to throw parties for you. It was magical. Then after I had my baby, it was like, get out of the way. They pushed my stroller, you know, down to get past me. And I was just like, what's going on? It's like,
I feel like that happens the moment the baby leaves your vagina.
Why does that happen?
Because no one cares anymore. It's not like you're this like carrying this like special package in your UPS pocket. Yeah. You're done. So now it's all about the baby. So I encourage women currently pregnant to milk this period
of time
as you can. It will end, and it's going to end before you leave the hospital.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing with brides. Like, brides people who are getting married are just like, oh, everyone's so in love with me and my wedding, and it's the most important thing. And I'm like, no, you've got about a few months left on this this ticket to ride, and then it's all over.
I feel like the woman that's so annoying about her wedding is also going to be the same woman who's annoying about her baby. Like, you are not the first person to give birth to a baby. Yeah. I know that may become a shock to you, but it is. So like there's a certain amount of time or a way you can enjoy it and, you know, talk about it, but you don't overstay your welcome.
I was a complete asshole when I had my baby. I was like, I don't know if you know everybody, but I've just birthed perfection. And I owned my assholeness, though. I was like, listen, I know I'm going to be a jerk about this. Let's all just embrace it and move on. I think I've toned it down a little bit since then. Now I'm more annoying, like with my Instagram post of like, look how much fun we had today on all of our adventures.
It's funny too. I think it'll, if you guys have another child, that might change because you just don't have
the energy.
The energy. Yeah. It's like every child. I was the third of four kids, and I think there are maybe four baby photos of me in existence. And I always was annoyed by that, but now I get it.
Excuse me, where are all my pictures? Yeah, no, I think there is something to that. Being the firstborn, you definitely do get a lot more of the attention. She's probably going to be our first and only. Like, I think we're one and done, toot it and boot it. Situation here. Like, we're done. I think we're done. She wears me out. I had not anticipated being a stay-at-home mom. That was not my goal. It's what ended up happening. You know, obviously I do other things, but I'm mostly here for her, and it's exhausting. It's exhausting.
I get it.
I know you do.
I get it because, you know, it is basically a 24/7, you know, 365-day job. Yeah. It never ends. Like, even when you're laying awake at night, you know, you're thinking about, you know, school applications and vaccinations and playdates.
How old are your kids now? What are their age? What are their age ranges?
7, almost 5, 3, and just turned 1.
Ooh.
So I basically had a kid more or less every 2 years. So now I'm itching for another one.
Are you really? Get out of here.
I know.
Are you Mormon?
Logical problems. I'm not. I'm not Mormon. I'm not Catholic. I'm an Episcopalian baby hoarder.
That should be your Twitter bio. Also, Mormons, please don't send me tweets and emails. I don't mean anything by it. I have a friend who.
No, but that's true. I've written about that. I have an article written that I said I'm a baby hoarder. But it's true because people assume that when you're Orthodox or you're Catholic or you're Mormon. But no, I just really like having children, and I'm really into being pregnant. And I get
How big was your family?
4 kids, but 2 of my sisters are half sisters. So, and we have a big age gap. So, you know, it wasn't like we were all in the same house at the same time.
Right.
So, my kids are really close in age, so it's just a totally different dynamic. But I think that, for my husband and I, we chose to have a big family and it works for us. We like the dynamic of a lot of kids in the house, but I completely respect and understand people who only want to have one. I mean, it's just, you know, you're going to have a much quieter house than mine, but I feel like I'm the kind of person that I will always have a million people coming in and out of the house.
Yeah.
So if you're a quiet person, you would hate living with me.
We have a quiet house. I mean, we always have like music playing or Channing's always playing with something, but I will tell you it's exhausting in that she doesn't have any other playmates. Like it's literally just me or Chris all the time.
Which is, I always say to people, I think the hardest thing is to have one child because you are the sole entertainment for your child nonstop. And when you only have one child, you overthink everything. Because when I had one, I would say to my older sister, you know, I just feel like she didn't get enough stimulation today. And she would say, she gets stimulation from the world. You need to relax. So then I realized that the more kids I have, it's actually great because I don't have to play with them anymore.
Yeah, that's what all my friends with multiples say. They're like, listen, you know, you got to give her a playmate. And I'm like, I'm not having another child just so she can have a buddy. But there have been times where I'm like, you know what? That's not a bad idea because I have stuff I need to do and she's bugging me.
I have to say it's nice because, you know, I don't have to sit on the ground with them anymore. And to be quite honest, we don't really have much in common with our children anyway. I mean, they've never been to Las Vegas. They don't pay taxes. They don't watch the same shows that we watch.
Yeah. Do they watch the reality shows? What the hell?
No, they don't. So we have nothing in common with them. And by the way, guys, I'm not that fun. I can't recognize, you know, rock star Barbie in a lineup. I don't know who she is. So find someone else to play with.
I was watching one time, Botched, and with Channing in the room, and Chris comes in. He's like, what are you watching with her? And I was like, we're watching Botched. And he's like, okay, they're like ripping people's faces off and showing deformed boobs. And I'm like, listen, she's in LA. She's going to learn about this at some point. So we might as well teach her about
it
now.
I feel like I'm you and your husband is my husband because I mean, my husband would say, and I just feel like, well, you know, this is life. I don't know. Like, I listen to Howard Stern in my car, so I'm not really the exemplary example.
I do too. Like, listen, I do too. I listen to stuff that is so inappropriate. Like, aside from like podcasts where there's lots of swearing, I listen to a lot of like NPR because I'm a huge news nerd like that. And the other day, Channing had fallen asleep in her car seat because we were going to godforsaken Santa Monica, which is so far away.
Right.
And there was some news story on about prisoners locked up in the cages and they were like animals and all this stuff. And she woke up and goes, Mommy, why are there animals in the cages? Why do they put people in cages? And I was like, oh God, like, I'm sorry. I forgot you were here.
Oh, whoops. Sorry. Hope you don't have nightmares.
I know. I was like, it's pretend. And so I'm like quickly like finding something, you know, Justin Bieber-y or something. But yeah, they absorb so much. So I try to be a little cognizant of that, but also it is the world we live in. Reality TV is real, right?
It's so good though. I just love it. I feel like we're all anthropologists.
Yes.
You know, I do think though, there's a lot of discussion this week in terms of Real Housewives of Orange County that the series got a little dark this season. And then in the last week, there's been so much, there are these like secret Facebook groups where they talk about shows, but they're really vicious.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that I long for the days when it was just like, you know, just light, funny conversation. I don't like the shows where it gets too dark.
Where they start like slapping each other around and calling each other like whore and bitch and stuff like that.
Or they like they look up old police records where there's abuse or, playing too dirty, like finding old text messages, you know, talking about people's affairs. It's like, it's not so funny. For me, when I write a recap, it's the observations I make about people.
Yeah.
And if anybody ever got offended, which they really don't, most people get a kick out of it. They shouldn't get offended if I write a recap because I find that totally flattering. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I have problems too. But if I'm paying attention to every quirk you have, and I'm writing additional conversations you didn't have based on my assessment of your personality. Right. So it should be funny. It's like being roasted by your sister.
Right.
Like, they get aspects of your personality, but when it gets too vicious, it's kind of like, oh, that's a bummer.
Does it bother you at all when the bubble of reality TV is burst, in that you know that there's producers who are progressing a storyline along, or they have scenes that are set up? Does that bother you, or would you rather prefer to just think everything is roses and sunshine? Is real in reality.
Yeah, I don't like it too much. Sometimes I took a break a couple of years from Real Housewives of Atlanta, mm-hmm. because I felt like that became too much of what I call a telenovela.
Mm-hmm, totally.
It's a turnoff for me. So there are definitely some shows where I don't watch them because it's just too phony. Marriage Boot Camp, that one is just too much for me.
I feel that way about Catching Kelsey. I know we talked about it briefly on your channel.
Yeah.
I feel like Catching Kelsey is very canned and like, okay, now you guys go over to by the pool and fight.
And then I had a girl from that season on, the one Anika, who really nice. So she came in and she said it seemed like she felt like she got thrown into the middle of a tornado.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it has been like a strange, strange experience. So,
but also she auditioned for that show. Like, all of these shows, they're not random girls. And see, this is where for me, like dating shows and shows like that are frustrating, because I have friends who cast reality TV shows and cast shows like that. So they look for certain personality types and wackadoo and the people who are going to stir the pot and all of that. And that's what bugs me, is that part of it. It's like, none of them are real. You know, you were put on this show to fill a certain spot. I still love like Big Brother. I still love Big Brother. I will watch the shit out of some Big Brother, even though I know they're all specifically put in there to be the sassy gay, the angry black person, the quiet Asian, you know, whatever their archetype is that they're filling. I'll still watch it. But
I think that another thing that I really hate is when people overproduce themselves, or they're pitching their trinkets too much on a program.
Oh,
Catching Kelsey, that girl said, "Hi, I just want to make sure you understand. I'm a big deal on the internet. I've got a YouTube page. I've got a beauty brand." You know, it's like, hang on, you're on a dating show on the E! Network. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Right, exactly.
There was a housewife in Orange County that sold cuffs, and maybe she sold 8 at a flea market. I mean, she was by no means Tori Burch, but the way she projected herself, like, I'm a big deal. I'm an accessories mogul.
Yeah.
That's beyond annoying to me. And I blame, you know, in some parts, Bethany Frankel for that, because everyone wants to be another version of her. Of course, she's probably slamming her head against a wall too, right?
Do you think? Because I mean, she's making a lot of money. She's made a name for herself.
She has to film scenes with people like Sonia Morgan, who say, you know, I've got a Bojangles and bracelet line. And she's got like one lady making a one shoulder dress for the online order. And they get, you know, sent out from some hole in the wall apartment in Poughkeepsie. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is not, you cannot compare the two things. So I think Bethany gets annoyed when people compare themselves to her, when if they took their product to Shark Tank, they would, you know, be told like,
get out of here.
Get rid of your hobby. you know, take your trinkets elsewhere.
One of the things I forgot to tell you when we were on your show is that I used to work for KTLA News here in LA. And one of the guests we had on the show one morning was the Countess.
Give it to me. I want to know everything. Leave a detail out.
It was when she was releasing her album.
Oh my gosh.
And she sang that song, Money Can't Buy You Class.
She doesn't sing, she talks.
Oh,
song, it's just talking.
I just want you, like, I don't know if you heard her sing this song, but it's Money Can't Buy You Class. And it was so bad that it sort of became the butt of the joke in the newsroom. Like if somebody, you know, messed something up or like somebody just like shit the bed pretty hard, it was always, well, money can't buy you class.
Oh my God.
And they would play it over the loudspeaker. I can talk about this now because I don't work there anymore. Suckers. But they would play it over the loudspeaker like as a joke. Like it was so bad. It was so uncomfortably bad. Like to listen I love to. But yeah, she was like really committed to it too when she came on and sang.
She's an enigma to me.
Yeah,
wrapped in 14 karat gold.
Right.
I see a lot of the women that have been on these shows for years. I just get tired of them. Mm-hmm. I feel like I know your storyline. You can't make, and I'm sure there's a lot of pressure at the beginning of the season. Okay, what four storylines can we have for you this season? Like yeah. what? Expect from you, and I'm sure they stress out about what they can talk about.
Sure they do, but that, you know, they've all got great producers. They've all got really good producers, story editors, people who are driving the story along to make these characters that they've cast and invested into to seem interesting. And there's a very jaded part of me that's like, oh, this is all fake and BS, and why does everyone buy into it? But you know, but then I sit there and I watch the Kardashians like a crazy person going, oh, come on. And doesn't you know, this robbery storyline, they're going to.
If somebody followed you, like if they were like, oh. Okay, Kate, what do we have going on today? All right. Listen, prepare yourselves. You might shit your pants when I tell you this, but we're going to go to CVS and I'm going to go get some tampons. I know it's going to be amazing. It's like, I don't have that excitement in life. They can't either. They must have to. Yeah. Come up with stuff. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure a lot of it is super boring. And also, like, how many times can we watch them, you know, go to a party? Or how many times can we watch them talk on the phone? Or, you know, it's just, even that stuff gets really, really boring after a while, peeking into the lives of wealthy and famous people.
I also cannot relate. Now, in the old days, in the first seasons of Real Housewives of Orange County, they wore horrible clothing and they didn't have much makeup on and they had terrible hair. As a lot of women, I say this because I live in Orange County, a lot of women do.
Yeah,
they'll still wear those sky tops and they'll have like their tits hanging out.
Yeah.
Which is totally normal. That? But now,
why?
I think it's because like someone told me like 92% of women here get implants.
Yeah, I've read that too.
Bizarre to me. So I think that they buy them and then they want to show them off.
Yeah.
Now me, I'm from Philadelphia, so I want nothing more than to hide them, to tape them up and to keep them compressed underneath clothing. So I don't relate to that. But I think that it's kind of a bummer now when you watch these shows because women, and especially, you know, women that are over 40 with they may have had like face transformations, but they most certainly have eyelash extensions and women's long hair extensions. I'm sorry, it's not acceptable when you're over 40 years old. It should not be done. And you know, spray tans and the like four layers of makeup and you know the Spanx and the dresses. It's like, you know, why can't you just wear some like, you know, jeggings?
Yeah.
And some flat shoes and call it a day.
I think because I don't know if they just feel pressure because their friend is doing it, so they want to do it too, and then it starts like this like group peer pressure of women and moms. But some of the ladies from the Orange, especially Orange County Housewives, look like completely different people. You know, they don't they don't even, their faces are not the same, their bodies are not the same. Like it's so strange to me. Like maybe they're feeling pressure from producers, I don't know.
I feel like it. I think that they go on the show and then people tell you how horrible looking you are.
Oh,
and
sure. So on social media and stuff?
Yeah, so you start tweaking and then you don't stop.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And
here's the thing, though. I mean, I'm going to be 40 in April. Like, I can talk, four children. So, I mean, if I were on a show, I would just be like, listen, I'm not going to be a bikini model anytime soon. Like that ship sailed. So you can accept what you see or you can turn the channel.
I just wish that more women felt confident enough to do that. But when you're talking about so much money on the line, so much celebrity power and influence, since I started doing this podcast, I've sort of been like dipping my toe in the world of like mommy bloggers and mom podcasters and all of that stuff. And there is a power and influence that comes with being a reality, you know, being a reality show star, and they don't want to lose that. And if they have to get a little Botoxy-toxy to keep it, you know, like, they'll do it, or a breast lift, whatever. So I think it's the how strong your desire is.
A little tweaker there is fine to make yourself feel better. But when it becomes a complete facial transformation, you know, then you need to, you know, chiggity check yourself. But I do think it would be hilarious if there were a show, tell your reality friends that I think this would be a great show, if you just showed normal people in just one show. I'm not saying we're setting a trend, but we could be just like normal girls without all of the work done. So people had a much more realistic perspective of TV. We could still make it very funny and realistic, but the problem with all these shows is that they want them to be almost aspirational. And I just don't think if you're, you know, between the ages of 32 and 50, that anybody has all the time and energy to put into the looking that way, unless your last name is Kardashian.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I just don't know that anybody would watch that show. I think people are so used to seeing the sexy, you know, overly sexed up, overly faked, you know, reality show stars that we see. Now, I will say, like, I will also watch Biggest Loser. I will watch those, you know, chunkamunkas work out, and I will sit on my couch with my Reese's peanut butter cup and just be like, you go, girl.
Yeah, but I feel like those shows are horrible, too, because they don't they, like, deprive them.
Yeah, like they get put on like a 500 calorie a day diet, and then they have to exercise for like 8 hours a day.
That's insane.
It is insane, but they look so skinny at the end.
Okay, and then I like 3 weeks after the show, cut to them sitting in a closet eating 5 Subway sandwiches because they've been starving themselves, and then they have a heart attack because their body can't take it.
I know. Did you see that one lady is suing, or that she was like suing the producers of the show because she gained all her weight back and she blamed the show?
Okay.
I know. I was like, okay. Well, listen, I am so impressed with your knowledge of reality TV. I think I told you that on your show too. I was a little intimidated because you know so much about reality TV, and it's really impressive. And I loved being on your show. It was great.
Some people have, you know, skills in life that, you know, they're engineers, they're skilled in the, you know, the arts. And I just know a lot about reality TV.
You do. And comedy and being a veteran.
Exactly.
And being a Marine, apparently. No.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
Well, thank you for coming on my show. Tell everybody really quickly where we can find your show and follow you on the social media.
Okay, so my show is called it's called Reality Life with Kate Casey on Android, or on Stitcher, iTunes, and my website is www.loveandknuckles.com. I do television recaps and a lot of parenting funny humor on Twitter at Kate Casey, Instagram Kate Casey CA. I do funny celebrity parody pictures. And then
I've seen them. They're great.
Snapchat's Love and Knuckles. And Facebook, my Facebook page is great too. And that's Love and Knuckles.
I need to follow you on the snaps. I enjoy the Snapchat.
Do you? It's like a love and hate relationship for me. But most of the stuff on Snapchat, I make fun of my children.
I just like looking at myself. I'm like, oh, look how glamorous I look with all of this, with this filter. I look amazing. Oh, right. I look so skinny.
I know. It is good.
All right, everybody. Well, I'm going to put information and links for Kate's podcast and her website as well up on motherhoodinhollywood.com. And you guys can find me at MIH Podcast on Twitter or at Heather Brooker, and also Motherhood in Hollywood on Instagram and Facebook. Kate, thank you so much for coming on my show.
Thank you. You got it.
But I can play one on TV. Bye.
Mama funny.
Balls.